You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, July 15th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to Legal Potland, Oregon. We're coming to you live from Rolla J Studios. Nice day outside, about 80 degrees, sunny. Took a bike ride earlier today to the studios of X-Ray FM, 107.1 FM here in Portland, Oregon. Appeared on Jefferson Smith's show for, I believe, the third time, maybe the second time. No, I think it's a third time on his show, Thank You Democracy. I was a part of a panel. We were discussing Oregon marijuana legalization and what it means to small business, particularly the small farmers out there. I pointed out that as long as marijuana is illegal federally, the small growers are protected from the Altrias and Philip Morris's and all these big multinational conglomerates. And I believe that the small growers will thrive in Oregon. I really believe that we are going to have the best array and selection of boutique buds anywhere in the country. And I kind of likened it to our microbrew industry here in Oregon. Just recently saw some data on this in one of our newspapers that we have over 300 brewers here in the state of Oregon, and one out of five beers sold in Oregon is brewed in Oregon. One out of five, right? We're one of the big microbrew states. And Jefferson brought that up. He said, is that the best we can hope for? Is that only one out of 5 grams sold in Oregon would be grown in Oregon? Well, of course not. They'll all be grown in Oregon because of the federal prohibition at this point. And any big marijuana businesses that do evolve will evolve from within Oregon. They're going to be Oregonians running those businesses. That's the thing about the Green Rush. We get to be Walmart. We get to be McDonald's. We get to be Anheuser-Busch InBev. How those businesses progress and develop is really all up to us. And it's all up to us staying engaged. And I told him, as an advocate for marijuana consumers, I just want to see the consumers treated fairly. I want to see us get the best prices, the best selection, the best quality. And I believe the laws here in Oregon are going to lead us to that destination. All right, coming up on today's show, we have a couple of guests on today's show. Joining us at 3:30 Pacific time, we have Representative Kathy Tilton. She's an Alaska state representative. She's calling in to tell us all about what's happening with the development of legalization in Alaska. We had some news recently of Anchorage trying to add on a open container ordinance that would require all marijuana to be transported in the trunk of a vehicle. We'll ask her about that and the rest of what's going on in Anchorage. Then at 3:45, we've got a visit from Atta Gonzalez. He's from G Pharma Labs. He's been a guest on the show before. He's going to give us some tips for cannabis startups. If you're interested in getting involved in the Green Rush, what should you do? What is your due diligence if you want to get started in this? Also on Drug War Data Mining today, we're going to take a look at the projections for the marijuana industry, projecting $35 billion market by 2020. In Behind the Headlines, we'll take a look at Normal's new application called Canary, available for iPhone, that is a self-impairment testing app. And before we start all that, we'll get to the 420 radio news. Lots of headlines from all over the legal states, as well as Ohio and Maine and Idaho. Then we'll take it into Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your live calls right after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Hey, this is Big Daddy, and I want you to know it's never too late to join me at the Funky Roller Rink every Thursday night, right here on 420 Radio.
Tony Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, July 15th, 2015. Colorado's Board of Health has rejected a proposal to allow medical marijuana as a treatment for post-traumatic stress. The decision came after hours of testimony, primarily from military veterans and sex assault survivors. Several spoke about past efforts to take their own lives. The primary argument from board members who voted against the petition was there has not been enough scientific research on marijuana and PTSD. This is the third time someone has petitioned the state to add PTSD to Colorado's medical marijuana program. In the past, the chief medical officer has rejected the petition. This was the first time the acting chief medical officer has recommended the Board of Health vote on the issue. 9 other states consider PTSD a qualifying condition for medical marijuana, but Colorado has not added a condition to Colorado's registry since voters approved medical marijuana 15 years ago. The Washington Poison Center says that in the first half of this year, it received 32 calls about children suffering from marijuana exposure, an increase from 24 in the first half of 2014. Dr. Alexander Garrard says that doesn't necessarily mean more kids are actually being exposed to pot. The Washington Poison Center has been doing more to promote its hotline, and some producers of marijuana edibles have even put the number on their packaging. So the increased calls could simply reflect increased public knowledge of the poison center, or people could simply feel more comfortable calling for help now that marijuana's been legal for a while. Public health officials say marijuana intoxication in children can lead to anxiety attacks, psychotic-like symptoms, seizures, and respiratory depression. Pro-marijuana group Responsible Ohio received approval Wednesday to begin collecting signatures for its proposed law to expunge pot offenses once marijuana becomes legal in Ohio. The group's Fresh Start Act would allow Ohioans convicted of marijuana offenses, legalized by the group's constitutional amendment, to have those records expunged or destroyed. In a 3-2 vote, the Ohio Ballot Board on Wednesday certified the Fresh Start Act as containing one proposed law, giving Responsible Ohio the green light to begin collecting the necessary 91,677 signatures of Ohio voters to move forward in the initiated statute process. If Responsible Ohio's marijuana legalization amendment to the Ohio Constitution passes this November, and lawmakers do not approve the proposed expungement law, Responsible Ohio could put the measure before voters in 2016. Responsible Ohio's Ian James said the expungement language was not included in its marijuana legalization amendment because it would be considered a second issue. The campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol, a group hoping to place a ballot question before Maine voters to legalize recreational marijuana in the state, is reporting that it has raised $53,011 in the second quarter of 2015. But $50,000 of the donation came from the Marijuana Policy Project, a Washington, D.C.-based advocacy group that claims 200,000 supporters nationwide, with 4,000 in Maine. To be placed on the ballot in 2016, the campaign needs to collect at least 61,123 signatures from registered Maine voters. State lawmakers earlier this year soundly rejected a pair of bills that would have put a question before voters on legalizing marijuana. And meanwhile, another Maine-based group, Legalize Maine, is also working to collect signatures to place a question on the 2016 ballot. If they are both successful, voters would be faced with picking between the two, supporting both or rejecting both. Two western Idaho counties are taking different approaches to folks caught coming across the Oregon state line with their legal marijuana that is still illegal in Idaho. Payette County Sheriff Chad Huff has given his deputies the right to use discretion with each case. The county jail can hold 72 people and is at capacity or near capacity most days. So because of that, Huff believes his deputies should have the luxury of issuing a citation rather than an arrest if it's for less than 3 ounces of pot and the suspect is not driving under the influence. But Washington County Sheriff Matt Thomas takes a different approach to the issue, saying, quote, "We will take them to jail. We will arrest them. We can hold 49 in our jail, and we have cots we can put down if we need to," end quote. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, July 15th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
The Russ Belville Show. We're as much like Cheech and Chong as ordinary Americans are like the Three Stooges. Hey, Mo!
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com. Today in Behind the Headlines, we take a look at the Canary app that permits marijuana consumers to gauge their personal performance. Representatives from the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML, endorsed Canary, the first ever mobile app that quickly and accurately measures one's personal performance to determine whether or not a subject may be under the influence of marijuana. Available for iPhone and iPad, Canary combines decades of research and experience, specialized mental and physical performance tests, and advanced modeling and analysis to accurately measure behavioral or cognitive impairment. You can check a demonstration of the Canary app at mycanaryapp.com. Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of NORML, said, quote, "NORML's purpose is to influence public opinion to legalize the responsible use of marijuana. Canary is the first app to provide consumers with the scientific information they need to accurately evaluate their personal performance, privately, anytime, and anywhere," end quote. Canary features four distinct mental and physical performance tests designed to evaluate baseline performance and then to compare subjects' behavior against this established baseline. Potential deviation in baseline performance as a result of the use of cannabis, alcohol, prescription drugs, or even exhaustion is readily identified by the app. To form this overall picture, Canary uses state-of-the-art metrics and advanced features of the iPhone 4S and later to measure and record memory, balance, reaction time and divided attention, and time perception. The Canary test can be completed in 2 minutes and the results are immediately analyzed to determine the individual user's performance level. Average performance data from a large group of unintoxicated individuals is used to assess impairment. For greater accuracy, users can set a unique personal baseline, then future tests are measured against this baseline. Mark Silverman, the developer of Canary, says, quote, Canary is the culmination of 60 years of combined technical and legal experience and thousands of peer-reviewed studies, including NASA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and Department of Defense research, as well as upon thousands of studies specific to cannabis's acute impact on cognitive and psychomotor functioning. Canary measures key performance indicators that may be impacted by potentially impairing substances, including marijuana, while respecting users' privacy. Canary doesn't share users' personal data with anyone, end quote. Leonard Freeling, a published author on the impact of marijuana on functioning and an attorney of 39 years who is a member of the Normal Legal Committee, the Colorado Normal, and the first chair of the Colorado Bar Association Marijuana Law Committee, said, quote, the identification of THC in blood is poorly associated with users' impairment or performance. Canary is the first app to use performance science to help marijuana users consume more responsibly. He added, quote, of great importance is that Canary is not limited to marijuana's impact, alcohol's impact, or any specific cause of behavioral impairment. What we all need to know on the spot is, are we functioning up to our personal normal standards? End quote. According to a recent Gallup poll, nearly half of Americans are concerned about how the implementation of statewide marijuana legalization laws may impact traffic safety. Such concerns pose a potential impediment to the enactment of additional marijuana law reforms. The Canary app seeks to respond to these concerns in a way that utilizes the best available science to assure personal responsibility and safety. Canary is compatible with iOS 7.1 and iPhone versions 4S and newer. For more information, visit mycanaryapp.com. I am so excited to be able to report on this Canary app because it goes to the heart of what we've been discussing with respect to drug testing and blood testing for impairment all this time, urine testing, saliva testing, hair testing. All that it proves is that we're marijuana consumers. It in no way proves that we're impaired. And when it comes to impairment, who cares what you're impaired by? Whether it's legal, illegal, prescribed, unprescribed, or just the fact that you're road raged, you're angry, you're tired, whatever it might be, this Canary app is going to detect that, and it's going to detect it against your own personal baseline. Or detected against an average sample baseline if you don't want to go to the trouble of producing your own baseline. Now, this won't be used by the police. It won't be any get-out-of-jail-free card if you show that, hey, I tested okay on my Canary app. But what it will do is start to break through people's perceptions of marijuana impairment and to help them understand that it's nothing like alcohol impairment. And that the idea of testing one's urine or blood to determine that impairment when it comes to marijuana is scientifically inaccurate and factually false. It doesn't help us keep our roads any safer. As this public perception, as more people download this app and this perception becomes more widespread, I think we'll see less push for these per se DUID laws and more push for, as Dr. Mitch puts it, roadside impairment testing. Now, a special offer is being made to members of Normal. The first 500 downloads of the Canary app are free. And again, you can get them at mycanaryapp.com. After those first 500 downloads, the app will be available for $4.99, and a percentage of each sale will go to support Normal. So you can do yourself a favor, download My Canary app for the iPhone or iPad today, get it for free while you can, and if you can't, you'll be donating to Normal. All right, folks, it's 4:20 in Denver, 3:20 here in the Pacific time zone. I want to remind you, check out our 420 Radio chat room. Click the live chat button on 420radio.org. We've also got some new changes coming up very soon that will mean less data download charges for those of you using the 420 Radio app. All sorts of cool stuff in the pipeline. We'll talk more about it in hour two. For now, enjoy your break. We're back with the data mines right after this.
The Russ Belville Show, where we don't change our position on decriminalization in an election year.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Hey, I'm Herb Thrasher, host of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, live every Friday night at 8 Pacific. Tune in for 2 hours of metal marijuana mayhem featuring exclusive interviews with the latest bands, highlights of live shows, and the latest in marijuana news. It's the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Friday nights at 8 p.m. at 420 Radio, or catch the replay on Saturday nights.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mines, we're taking a look at CBS MarketWatch Online, which leads with the headline, Marijuana could be a $35 billion market by 2020. Yeah, folks, just 5 years away, possibly a $35 billion market. That's according to Green Wave Advisors. They're an industry research firm tracking retail sales in Colorado, Washington, soon in Oregon and Alaska, and Washington, D.C., although there won't be any sales in Washington, D.C. Greenwave notes that there's been an explosive growth in all the states since marijuana has been legalized, and it presents a strong opportunity for both entrepreneurs and the tax man to be able to make some money off of this. Taking a look at some of the numbers, first of all, the sale of recreational marijuana began in Washington state a year ago last week. So they've had legal sales for a year and a week now, and it has steadily grown to $31.9 million in June, compared to the $2 million they pulled in the first month. So from $2 million to almost $32 million. And the total is nearly $180 million in sales for the first 12 months. That's according to Marijuana Business Daily's analysis of data from the State Liquor Control Board, soon to be renamed the Liquor and Cannabis Board. So $180 million in sales in Washington State in just 1 year, $32 million a month. That's starting to catch up with Colorado's recreational market. Colorado's market began in January of 2014, so they've had about a year and a half worth of sales. In their first sales year alone, in 2014, Greenwave Advisors says they brought in $305 million in sales.
So $180 million in the first year in Washington, $305 million in the first year in Colorado. And I would suspect that a lot of that has to do with more access points in Colorado. Colorado's recreational marijuana piggybacked on its already existing medical marijuana system, so there's probably plenty more places to go shopping. I know on July 8th, 2014, when recreational marijuana began in Washington State, there were only a handful of outlets that actually opened that first day. It was like four or six of them, something like that. And slowly but surely, they've had more and more recreational outlets opening up. I also predict that the sales of recreational marijuana in Washington are going to increase as more of these medical marijuana dispensaries, these unlicensed new dispensaries since 2013, are forced to shut down. And I also think that we will see somewhat of a migration of people from the recreational market or from the medical market to the recreational market as many of these people were patients who were really just getting a recommendation to avoid arrest. They suffered from fear of arrest syndrome. So I imagine the recreational numbers will grow in Washington State. Now, one of the chief business development officers for OSL Holdings, that's a company that's focused on consumer advocacy and social activism. Man's name is Steve Gormley, and he compares this to the repeal of alcohol prohibition, saying, quote, "As was the case in advance of the federal repeal of alcohol prohibition, there is a landscape of opportunity in states that allow for the use of recreational or medical marijuana," end quote. Now, Gormley and other analysts, of course, now are looking at California coming up on the November 2016 ballot. Interestingly enough, Market Watch says that state voters will decide the issue, but it hasn't been settled yet. None of these guys have actually made the ballot yet. It's highly likely that one of the groups will, but I worry a little bit about counting our chickens before they've hatched here with "will decide the issue." But GreenWave's Matt Carnes says California is the big kahuna. Gormley says it's a tremendous market. And most people believe it'll be the tipping point, that should California, the ninth largest economy in the world, decide on recreational marijuana legalization, that it will only be a matter of time before the rest of the United States wants to get on board and not be left behind, as California, Oregon, Alaska, Washington, Colorado, and potentially Ohio continually move forward and keep generating revenue through the recreational use of marijuana. Now, more businesses will get involved in this, but one nice side of the legalization as it's unfolding right now is it's kind of a silver lining, the federal prohibition. It's still a big cloud that hangs over the movement, but the silver lining to it is that it insulates each state's marijuana businesses to be able to grow and thrive in state with no competition from mega national corporations like your Philip Morris, your Altria's, not even the big farming conglomerates like Archer Daniels Midland. None of these guys can get involved because of the continued federal prohibition on marijuana. And even the big players, say in Colorado, can't really get too involved in Oregon, and Washington can't get too involved in Alaska. As these states, especially Alaska and Oregon, set up their rules and regulations, which they still have yet to do, we're also likely to see some standards there that help the local industry and maybe some residency requirements for in-state residents to thrive. So we're looking forward to that, and like I said on X-Ray FM today, I really do believe that the small growers and the small businesses can thrive. We're not talking about rolling tobacco cigarettes or brewing cases of beer. Stuff that, yeah, you could do it on your own, but it's really time-intensive and difficult. Marijuana is open to everyone, especially in Oregon and Alaska and Colorado, where we're allowed to grow our own. If these corporations can't provide a decent product, we'll just do it ourselves, and we'll stick with our black market connections. So there is a little incentive there for us, for the businesses, to make sure they're meeting consumer demand. We'll be back with Alaska Representative Kathy Tilton right after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The Russ Belville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Reforming America's marijuana prohibition laws takes education, lobbying, and voting. From Washington, D.C. to your state capitol to your city hall, marijuana law reform involves all levels of civic life. Learn how you can make your impact with elected officials as we take a look at our government at work.
Welcome everyone for our government at work today. We go all the way up to the 49th state in the Union, Alaska, where State Representative Kathy Tilton is waiting to speak to us on the phone. And thank you for holding, Representative Tilton. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Russ. Thanks for having me today.
It was great to meet you up at the Northwest Cannabis Classic in Anchorage. It was my first time in Alaska, and what a wonderful state. What great people. Thank you so much for having this and for legalizing marijuana.
Well, thank you for coming to Alaska. It is a beautiful state, and, you know, the voters, that's what the voters voted for here in Alaska, so it is something new that we're dealing with for the first time, but as the chair of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, which takes in things that happen all across our state, it's my responsibility to look at the laws that go into the books and make sure that there are things that keep our community safe and what the voters voted for.
Excellent. And you're representing the area around Wasilla, is that correct?
Yes, I do. I represent a little bit of Anchorage, the Iklutna, Peters Creek, the Butte, and Fairview Lutheran in the Matsu Valley, which incidentally did vote against the initiative, but overall the state did vote for it.
Can you confirm for us, for once and for all, is Russia visible from your house?
Well, technically, no, it's not visible from my house.
Okay. I wanted to talk seriously, though, about some of the concerns coming up in Alaska. The most recent news that I had delivered here on the show had to do with a proposal, and I think this was just in Anchorage, not statewide, but something that was about open containers, saying that marijuana would have to be transported in the trunk. What can you tell us about that?
Oh, well, that is something that is... with the Anchorage Assembly, and I believe it's something that just came forth at the last Assembly meeting. So I don't have a whole lot of information about that at this point.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was state level or Anchorage level, but
it's on a local level.
Okay. So in moving forward to implement, here in Oregon, we just had a very contentious legislative session where there was a lot of haggling over how to implement our state initiative, Measure 91. What's been the political tenor of implementing your legalization up there in Alaska? What are some of the roadblocks or stumbling blocks that you're having to fight through to get this implemented?
Sure. Thanks for asking. That is something that has, back again, the Community and Regional Affairs, we went and did something a little bit different than we normally do with legislation. And we asked all of the different community leaders what they would need for their communities, and we worked together with them and the Marijuana Policy Project and ourselves and the attorneys, and we came together. We took all that information and brought it all together, looked for some reoccurring themes of things that maybe weren't quite spelled out in the initiative, because Alaska is, as you know, unique and different. So the initiative writers, there were maybe a few things that they didn't think about when they were putting that initiative together. And those are the things that we asked the different community leaders, what is it that we can do to help with that? So in that process, we put together a bill. It's actually HB 75. And incidentally, that bill is exactly what the Marijuana Policy Board is the Marijuana Control Board that has just met for the first time. The things that are in HB 75 are almost identical and exactly to what they were looking for. So the bill made it through the process to the Senate, over to the Senate, to the floor, where it did end up in a tie. And so it is back in the Rules Committee right now, kind of working with the people in the Senate to, we were kind of looking to see, what do we need in regulation and what do we need to go ahead and put in statute. So, but back again, like I said, incidentally, everything that the Marijuana Control Board has said that they are asking the legislature for, not everything, but most of the things were in HB 35.
What are some of the concerns that this bill is addressing?
Well, some of the major concerns that they're addressing have to do with a bright line to the amount of plants that would be, in someone's house. So where does it go from personal use to commercial use?
Gotcha.
So that's a big question. You know, how many plants can someone have in their house at one time before it's considered a commercial operation? That was one of the really big things that it addressed. Another thing that it addressed, which wasn't addressed in any of the other bills, either we did have a regulatory bill and a crime bill, which haven't made it through the system as of yet, was marijuana clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a new thing here in Alaska. And it's, so what it did was it defined what a marijuana club would be and gave some guidelines and sidebars for that.
That's wonderful news, because the latest news this week in the Pacific Northwest is the Washington State Legislature making it a felony to operate any sort of marijuana consumption club. It sounds to me like you guys are taking the right approach and understanding that if we're going to treat marijuana like alcohol, you got to give people somewhere to gather and use it. What would be some of the restrictions on these clubs?
The definition of the club was just in the bill, just defines the club. And it really, I didn't have all of the regulatory restrictions. That would be something that the Marijuana Control Board would have to come up with.
Okay.
But it would allow the municipalities to have the option to allow them in their communities or not.
Okay. So a local option to allow them, and then it'll be up to MCB to decide, you know, what exactly they are, time use, zoning, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Okay. Just giving that definition so that local communities have that option to decide if that's something that they wanted in their community or not.
All right. We're speaking with Alaska State Representative Kathy Tilton, representing the Wasilla and Mat-Su Valley areas. And another consideration that's unique to Alaska, well, not necessarily, it's also a consideration for Hawaii eventually, and that is you got a bunch of islands and very remote areas that are only accessible by plane or by boat, both of which are covered by federal transportation regulations. What's the state doing to address those residents of these very rural locations and their need to be able to transport marijuana?
At this point, that is something that I did not cover in the bill that we had out of community and regional affairs. I think that it's something that we'll look at more as we work on the regulatory bill that we're working on in conjunction with the Marijuana Control Board. One of the things that we did address was the ability to, a local control to opt, to be able to opt, we didn't opt out.
I see.
To be able to opt out.
Okay.
So the established villages would have the opportunity to opt out of the commercial marijuana business.
And wasn't this something, if I remember, I was reading another piece in ADN, I think it was, that talked about how the original measure that you guys passed defined the opt-out abilities of a city or an incorporated area, but it left out these unincorporated villages and townships that Alaska kind of has out there. Is that what you're talking about?
That is what I'm talking about. And yes, they were completely left out of the initiative. And back again, with Alaska being so unique and so vast, it was something maybe initiative sponsors didn't consider.
And that, you know, I think that speaks to, you know, Representative Tilton, that speaks to having locals involved in the drafting process of this stuff, because, you know, we've got national players like Marijuana Policy Project and Drug Policy Alliance that have these kind of boilerplate language that they bring to state, but, you know, what works in Massachusetts may not work in Alaska, as we've found. So in our legislative session here in Oregon, our legislature did a whole bunch of wholesale changes to what we voted on. Maybe the most, the two biggest outcomes were changing our tax structure from a point of harvest per ounce tax to a point of sale excise tax. And then also granting extreme opt-out provision local control rights to the Eastern Oregon counties that voted against our measure. Are there any major changes to, you know, the structure of the legalization the people of Alaska passed that the legislature has on tap that are proposing for the future?
At this particular point, I think that what we looked at was back again the Marijuana Control Board to look at the regulations and make recommendations. I know that when we worked on HB 75, we did work closely with Marijuana Policy Project. We did work closely with the communities. We worked closely with the attorneys, and we did try to stay within as close to the wording of the intent of the initiative as was possible. Even to the point that I believe the Marijuana Policy Project, you know, was happy with the outcome of HB 75. So.
Excellent. Now, Representative Tilton,
they probably wouldn't go on. They probably wouldn't go on record and say that completely, but
Sure.
I guess. Excuse me, my staff. So they did go on record and say that they were happy with that, and we tried to work very closely within the guidelines of the initiative and what the initiative spoke to.
All right. Is there any projections or timelines on when I might be able to fly into Anchorage, walk into a store, and buy some legal cannabis?
I believe the timeline is going to be somewhere around next April or May before the commercialization will be available, where you'll be able to walk into the store and do that.
Well, that's good news. It sounds like you're going to beat Oregon to the punch. Our projections here are like late summer of 2016, even though we recently passed a bill that's going to allow a temporary reprieve, let us buy at the medical marijuana dispensaries. And speaking of medical, is there any changes to your Alaska's medical program coming due to legalization?
Not at this point that I'm aware of, but I'm sure that there will be a lot of consideration given to the medical marijuana and looking at the laws on the books for that. The one thing I do want to back up just a little bit and point out is that there are some people who are jumping the gun here in Alaska and kind of starting their establishments before they should. Uh-huh. And I just want to caution on that, because that doesn't help anybody when you do that. So
there you go. Yeah, let's now that we've got legalization, let's follow these laws and make it better, not just for the people of Alaska, but in other states as they start to look to legalization, that they can see that it's done responsibly and that people will follow the rules. State Representative Kathy Tilton, thank you for joining us on the show. Any last words you want to get out?
No, I just thank you for having me on your show.
All right, thank you. And we'll see you in Anchorage next year. I can almost guarantee it. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, we'll see you then.
All right. When we come back, we'll be speaking with Ada Gonzalez from G Pharma Labs. He's got some tips for starting your cannabis business, even in Alaska. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
The marijuana can mess you up. Right. We've been getting high for what? 15 years? Nothing's ever happened. Did I get into all the drugs and start mugging people? Nah. Didn't do anything. In fact, I'd say I'm exactly the same as when I smoked my first joint.
Eddie, did you even look for a job today?
No, Ma.
Marijuana can make nothing happen to you, too.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. 420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups. Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Canna Business Chronicles.
Welcome back, everybody. Today in Canna Business Chronicles, we're visiting with a prior guest on our show. Ada Gonzalez is on the line. How you doing?
How are you, sir?
Good to have you back. And still with G Pharma Labs?
Yes, sir. G Pharma Labs.
Oh, excellent. Wanted to make sure we got that plug out there. And today we wanted to have you on to talk a little bit about cannabis startups and getting started in this cannabis industry. What's your background in starting up? How long have you been doing this?
We've been in the cannabis business for the last 6 years, and really when it was not really a business like it is nowadays. For sure, more structured, more regulated than when we first started, even though we followed state laws. You guys know California was always known as the Wild Wild West, so it was, you know, hope and pray that you'd make it to the next day. But it's a much different game now. You know, we've done everything from growing to operating a dispensary to seeing what the patients actually were looking for, because that changed as soon as extracts started coming out and edibles and that sort of stuff. And we were in the front line seeing the consumers shift from flower, the traditional flower, to more infused products. And so we started creating a brand at that time, and we were lucky enough to we were going to be showcasing the launch of the brand in Seattle in 2013. 2 weeks prior to that show, the Cole memo was released, and it became an industry. You know, we saw for the first time ever corporate America, the millionaires and the billionaires come around the cannabis industry. And, you know, it's been a hell of a ride from that time 2 years ago almost to see how this industry just keeps flourishing.
It sure is. It looks like everybody's jumping in. I like to say there's the suits and the heads, right? The heads are jumping in because, hey, what I've been doing for 20 years is now legal. And then there's the suits jumping in who are like, hey, new ways to make money. And they don't know a whole lot about weed. And on the other side, the heads, they don't know a whole lot about business. So let's address both sides. What would you say to the heads who are getting into starting a cannabis business? What are some of their misconceptions? What are some of the mistakes they should avoid?
Well, it's not the same business that they know. Yes, growing pot is growing pot, but it's a business, and it's about cost of goods, and it's a commodity. It becomes a commodity in a regulated market like Washington. You know, today, as a matter of fact, we were somewhere where these guys spend $1.8 million in this indoor grow with investment banking money, and they have 1,500 pounds of cannabis that they can't move. And so now they're dumping the facility for, I think, 1.5, and that's just going to be the beginning of their tumble, you know. Wow. So it's all about, really, yes, you have to know what you're doing in cannabis, you know, but you just got to really know how to move product. Growing the plant is one aspect of it, and it's the easiest aspect of it. The hardest aspect in a regulated market where there's facilities everywhere producing product is, you know, to be able to move that product.
Right. So
biggest issue that they're going to run into this, you know.
So we have a situation where these guys, these big money guys, are coming in and overestimating the demand or the distribution. Where's the pinch point here?
I think everybody thinks there's $1 zillion to be made in this industry, right? So the suits, as you call them, want to come in on it, and they have their connections for raising money or for investment banking money somehow, some way, and they do a pro forma based on a grow. And as soon as they put that grow up and realize, well, how do I get rid of this now? I think everybody involved is in shock, because nobody thought of how hard it is going to be to move a commodity just like corn could be in a market, you know. That's really what I'm seeing here. And then we're only in the beginning of seeing a lot of failures. And I'm not trying to have anybody get involved. As you know, everybody wants to get involved. But just be careful. Do your homework. You know, if you are a suit, make sure that you put the money where you should put it, because you will lose it. And if you are that grower or that person that has the experience in the industry, make sure that that you think of everything that's ahead for you, because you have to play chess in this to survive it in the long term.
We're speaking with Ada Gonzalez from G Pharma Labs, an expert in the startup of cannabis businesses during this green rush. Ada, give them a link for G Pharma Labs if they want to look you up and find out a little bit more.
Yeah, sure. It's www.gpharma with an F, F, A as in Apple, R as in Roger, M as in Mary, A as in Apple, L as in Larry, A as in Apple, and then B as in Boy, S as in Sam. gpharmalabs.com, and you can get you know, so what we do, Russ, is you know, like I said, we've been in the industry for 6 years in the California marketplace. At that time, you know, we became growers. I did not know how to grow a rose. Went to Amsterdam. I got the understanding of it, went back and started practicing it, had a collective. We did 99 plants, and I got to see how that process really started from a seedling all the way to a clone to, you know, indoor-outdoor cultivation. And it became very hard when it was time to go to a dispensary and people would nitpick the actual flower. Is it too green? Is it too brown? Is it too, well, never too green, right? But too brown, or didn't smell right. This one's better than that one. And it was really frustrating because, you know, there's a lot of choices out there. So you're either going to be the best grower out there, which everybody thinks they are anyway, and then probably your yield is going to be kind of shitty, or you're going to really do quality work that maybe, you know, somebody else that has that lower yield might have some nicer flower than you. So our whole point is that we really wanted to become, when we did become, a CO2 extracted oil company, to vape, and then further refinement to infuse into products. And what G Pharma Labs is has been doing and continues to do is actually just keep on infusing regular market products, convenience store products, into the cannabis industry. Mm. So we're kind of pushing the industry more and more every day to look more like a convenience store than what you're used to when you see a dispensary with just flower. Flower will always be there. There will always be a market for it, but it's going to become such a small area of the cannabis industry. We have a facility that we're building out in California, licensed facility that we're doing now, and we got 45,000 square feet of processing and 32,000 square feet of canopy. So we're focused so much on our processing because, you know, we understand the market and we know that moving product is what it's all about. So, you know, we for sure want to keep on infusing more and more regular market products, and that means more machinery and more methods, more kitchens and those type of things, you know. So that was our way of being able to move product in a market where it's completely flooded, you know.
Yeah, you let me know when you guys perfect the medicated infused pepperoni hot pocket. That's what I'm waiting for, man. I got to get some of that. We're speaking with Adam Gonzalez. And, you know, one of the things that's happening now, of course, is California's gearing up to finally pass recreational legalization in 2016. And that means the legislature, the assembly there, is currently scrambling to try to codify statewide regulations on medical marijuana. I mean, it's a hodgepodge from county to county. Everything's different. What do you see coming out of the legislature? And does it bode well for people trying to get into the green rush in California?
Well, I think we have something up there, 266, I believe is what it's called. And, you know, they're trying to see if it passes. But, you know, we have 2016 is also coming up, and the word around town is that, you know, recreational will be here. So everything is up in the air right now. Yeah, the medical regulations are actually getting a lot better here. There's a lot more licensing, especially for the retail stores, which have taken the biggest hit here all the time. The cities don't want them, and, you know, they start bothering them. And more licenses are coming out. I think San Diego just got licensed. Santa Ana just got 20 more licenses. And, you know, we're seeing in the cultivation side, out in Desert Hot Springs, you know, they're offering that license. So it's definitely getting more structured, but the biggest question is, okay, so we're structuring now, right before 2016, which is supposed to be when they vote for recreation, or now, what's going to happen then? What happens if that passes? Everything gets wiped out, you know, so we're still up in the air here as far as all that. I would like to think that we will continue forward to get our licensing, to have it in place, and have some of the Colorado model. You know, once the recreational passed, I think they allowed some of the, or allowed all the dispensaries or all the producers that were licensed to just slip over. Washington, on the other hand, has taken longer, just because there was nobody licensed.
Right.
I think 2066. Yeah, so, you know, but it's all wait and see.
All right. Well, Ada Gonzalez from G Pharma Labs, gpharmalabs.com. Thanks for your insight on what's happening in California and nationwide on the growing industry. And again, let me know when you get those Hot Pockets ready.
I got you. Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me on again.
Thank you so much. All right, folks, that's all the time we got for hour one, but stay tuned for hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We'll open up the phone lines at 844-420 Radio. That's 844-207-2346. For everyone here in Legal Potland at Rolla J Studios, I am Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it.